really enjoyed the music today. I hope you have as well. Very Christ-honoring music. Amen. If you would, in your Bible tonight, in Romans chapter 12, I'm not going to preach an expository message tonight. Again, more of a topical message. And I want to preach about service tonight as we approach the new year. But this, of course, will have a Christmas theme as I preach it. But I just want to remind you tonight that it pays to serve the Lord. That according to Corinthians, our labor is not in vain. That it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. We look at Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Very familiar passage to most of you. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Paul says, I beseech you, I beg you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. I think about Matthew chapter 6, where the writer says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought of your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Verse 34 says, take no therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Take no thought of your life. Take no thought of your life. For this life is just a vapor that appeareth for a little while and vanisheth away. Let's be reminded that our bodies are just tents. They won't be long. Either the Lord will come back or else it's appointed unto man wants to die. All this life will soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. As you gave in the offering just a moment ago, and I've been trying to repeat that term in the offerings. I don't do it enough, but it's an eternal investment when you give unto the Lord. When you give to His church, when you give to the Lord, it's an eternal investment. It's something that pays eternal dividends. It's stuff you can take with you when you go to heaven. And it pays to serve the Lord. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It pays to serve the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your love. We pray again that you would just challenge us tonight, that you challenge our heart as we go in close here to the new year, that we would serve you with all our might. We thank you for what you'll do. In Jesus' name, amen. In the Christmas story, we have characters whom God used in a mighty way. These characters were serving God without regard to consequences. They already understood that it pays to serve the Lord, as many of you understand that. Some of you tonight have, you know, taught a Sunday school class for years and years, or worked in particular ministries for years, sang in the choir for years. It pays to serve the Lord. We have preachers in here, and it pays to serve God. It pays eternal dividends to serve God. I want to challenge you tonight. As the world is getting darker, and we know that's the case, and my point tonight is not to make everything gloomy, but understand that the world is devolving, that things are getting darker, and there may come a time, and there will come a time, where there may be consequences for simply meeting in an auditorium like this. As we think about it, as we go forward, will you serve God without regard of consequences? The Bible talks about counting the cost, settling it once and for all. As we go forward as a church, as individuals, do you be in business with God when it comes to service? It's an area you ought to get settled. What is your area of service? Jesus, the Bible says it's your reasonable service to serve Him. It's your reasonable service to present your body a living sacrifice to Him. You know, it's kind of like someone who says, yeah, I'll serve. And it's kind of like a marriage. You know, we think about, what if you had to convince your fiance 40 times before you got married to really marry you? You know, she didn't have it settled, but you had to continue to go back and, you know, reconvince her to marry you, which I did with my wife. What about after the marriage she decided to go live with her mother? In other words, many times we serve God to the point, but we have to be reconvinced so many times. Isn't that right? I mean, really, it really is right. In our own Christian life, so many times we have to be reconvinced or re-encouraged or pushed a little bit. And sometimes it's the pastor, sometimes it's one of the Sunday school teachers, sometimes it's a special speaker. maybe it's your daily devotional, but at some point you have to kind of a recommitment in your own life to serve the Lord. Maybe you're here tonight and you're a little discouraged in the area of service here at our church. Can I just challenge you? Get it settled. Serving the Lord is worth it. It pays to serve the Lord. And there's certain areas in the church that I would not want to have that job. I always mention them, but you guys don't like me mentioning them. But one of the areas I would not want in this church emphatically is working with toddlers. I love them to pieces and I pray for them. When I pray for each family on a weekly basis here, almost on a daily basis, I pray for those little toddlers. But that's what all the extent that I am going to do is pray for them. I'm thankful for those of you who work with them. I'm thankful for those who sacrifice for extra choir practices, to have a Christmas musical. I'm thankful for those who serve and do. And Jessica and Brandon working with those little kids in the children's choir this morning. What a wonderful thing. And it just, you got to settle it in your own mind. It's worth it. It pays to serve the Lord. And whether you're working in master's clubs or you're working in the Sunday school department, you're ushering, whatever it may be. And wherever your area of service, playing the instruments, think about Miss Linda and others playing these instruments and the time it takes to put all that together and to rehearse and with special groups and Miss Jessica, and I'm going to leave somebody out and offend somebody. I tell you what, I've enjoyed Miss Abigail playing the flute. I enjoy the music at our church, but there is a lot of effort and work that has to go into that. But it pays to serve the Lord. It pays to serve it. It's worth it. It's worth it to serve God. In Luke chapter 1, we have, of course, Mary, the story of Mary, the angels coming to her there in Luke chapter 1 and verse 27. It says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. Verse 28, Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verse 28. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. We always talk about the Pentecostals kind of getting us off track when it comes to the Holy Ghost. Because there is a Holy Ghost, and He's actively involved in our life, and we certainly don't need to downplay Him. A very active part in our Christian life is the Holy Spirit working in our life. And certainly He's not there to cause chaos and do all the things that some of these other denominations do. But He's there, empowering us. Sometimes we may let the Catholic Church, because they have such a wrong view of Mary, sometimes we allow that to kind of steal away how great a woman she was. What does it say there? It says, Blessed art thou among women. The angel recognized her as being blessed. By the way, she wasn't sinless. The Catholic Church says she was sinless. In no way does the Bible say that Mary was sinless. In no way did she ascend into heaven as Jesus did. No way did we go to Mary and pray to her and she doesn't forgive us our sins. The Bible in no way tells us that. But she was blessed among women. And so therefore she's significant. She needed a Savior just like we do. She got saved the same way we get saved, by trusting and believing in her Son, Jesus Christ, as her only means of salvation. She was a sinner in need of a Savior. Amen? Verse 29, And when she saw Him, she was troubled at His saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call His name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto Him the throne of His father David. And He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of His kingdom there shall be no end. And then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? We touched on that this morning. And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy thing which that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, what? Listen to this now. Verse 38. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. We see the angel of the Lord came to Mary. Again, it says that before they came together that she was found with child. Mary was special in that she was a virgin, that she was chaste, she was pure. God recognized that and blessed her for it. Number two, Mary was special in that she was willing to suffer for righteousness' sake, understanding that to become a mother outside of wedlock would endanger her under the law to be stoned to death. Now, in that day and age, they did not necessarily stone them, but there was a great punishment for being found with child out of wedlock. So she would be reviled, she would be disdained by others, ridiculed by others for having gotten pregnant out of wedlock. Number three, she was special in that she was submissive to the Lord. She said what to him? She said, "Be it unto me according to thy word." In other words, "Lord, I'm here. I'm a willing servant. Whatever you want me to do, I will do." In Luke chapter 1, in verse 46, we see Mary's song. I love this. We read a little bit of it the other day. Mary's song, verse 46, Luke chapter 1. And Mary said, this is her singing, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaid. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath hoped in his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy." Verse 55, "And he spake to our fathers, to Abraham," and listen to this, "and to his seed forever." Mary had a good understanding of the scriptures. She quotes Micah in here. She quotes Jeremiah. She quotes some of the Old Testament scriptures in here. And of course, then it acknowledges Abraham's promise that was given to him and to his seed that we preached on last Sunday morning. So God blessed Mary not only because she was chaste and pure, willing to suffer for righteousness' sake, that she was submissive, but also because she was saturated with the scriptures. She was saturated with the scriptures. She also was a secret keeper. I like this point. You'll notice there was twice in which she said she pondered these things in her heart. You know, the shepherds came and she pondered those things in her heart. When it was recognized who he was, she pondered these things in her heart there after they had come back from when he was 12 years old, coming back from the temple. She pondered these things in her heart. She didn't go around saying, "Oh, guess what happened to my son? Shepherds came and they said the angels." You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying she pondered those things in her heart. I like that. Lastly, she willing to sacrifice her son that the world could be saved. Mary was special indeed. Mary was special in that she was willing to endure public shame in order to obey the Lord. Why? Because it's worth it. I mean, her son saved the world. It's worth it to serve the Lord. It pays to serve the Lord. It pays to be submissive to what the Lord would have us to do, whatever that may be, and whatever act of service. We see also a man, Joseph, who also disregarded the shame and the misunderstanding to take Mary and raise Jesus. Think about it. Joseph loved Mary. Can you imagine when he found out that she was with child? By the way, the way the scriptures read is she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. In other words, Joseph's dream happened after Mary's dream. Joseph found out that Mary was pregnant. And when he found that out, as he was pondering what to do about it, remember? So, got to think now. He did not see the vision that Mary had, the angel Gabriel coming to her. He didn't get that. So, he finds out she's pregnant because she's showing. She's 3 months along. He finds out, and she tells him, of course. And he's pondering what to do. And that's when he had his dream. Everybody get that? Everybody get the sequence? So don't think Joseph just shows up and all of a sudden he's having to go through this as a man too. He's having to face, you know, the actions that he will perform. What should he do? Because it's going to mar his reputation as well. Again, can you just imagine, as evidence of her coming with child, and she was found with child. But the Bible says he decided to put her away privately. Now, again, you've heard the explanations in other years past about, you know, an engagement at this time was different than our engagements. You know, when I was 17, I asked my wife to marry me. We got engaged. Was 17? Yeah, 17. Was I 16? I wasn't 16 yet. I wasn't 17 yet. Was I 18? Okay. At some point in my parents' front yard, I asked my wife to marry me. I was 17-ish. She was 16-ish. We got engaged. I gave her, did I give you a ring yet? Did I have it yet? Probably not. I was too poor. I put one of those little plastic rings on her finger. Asked her to marry me in front of my family, and she actually said yes, which was a miracle. But when we were engaged, that engagement could be broken any time, just simply by me saying, forget this, you know, and running fast as I can. Until she told me I couldn't, and she said, no, I'm just kidding. Or she could say that. I mean, there's no consequences from us saying, hey, we're out of this. But in this day, when you got engaged, it was the same laws that were required in marriage were required in the engagement. In other words, if you wanted to break the engagement, you had to write a bill of divorce. It was a huge thing. It didn't just happen. And there were many other rules in part of this, but it wasn't just a flippant thing to break an engagement during the time of the Christmas story. And so understand that when Joseph found out that Mary was with child, he, before he had the dream, was minded to put her away privately. He loved her so much, and he considered her so much that he was already willing to put her away privately. In other words, to give her a bill of divorcement without an explanation, which also was a huge thing. So a man at that time could just say, I'm no longer going to be with my wife, and I'm writing a bill of divorcement, and here's the reason. He would hand it to her, and he'd done. I mean, that was pretty bad too, but there had to be an explanation. But so when he said he minded to put away privately, he's saying, I'm not going to put an explanation down for that. So that would have marred his testimony as well. Everybody see that? I just want you to know Joseph was a good man. He loved Mary. And thankfully, we know the vision came or the dream came. In Matthew chapter 1, it says, but while he thought on these things, what he was going to do with Mary, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, the son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Could you imagine his joy and his relief when he found out that, you know, she hadn't done some immoral act and had gone out on him? Could you imagine the joy and the relief he had? He took unto Mary his wife and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son. Joseph also was an obedient servant. Joseph did as God had said, and he took no thought but took her to be his wife. See, Joseph also was willing to serve, willing to obey the Lord in spite of the circumstances. It cost him something to marry Mary. It cost him. It cost part of his testimony. How do we know this? We know this because when Jesus was confronted later down the road in his ministry, he was confronted by the religious leaders who said to him, I'm glad I'm not born of fornication. So it was definitely something that Jesus bore his entire ministry. That people knew that Mary had had the child before Joseph and Mary were officially married as such. Everybody with me? So the religious leaders made that very clear. They thought he was born of fornication. It uses the other word. It's found in the Bible, but I'm not going to say it. right? Joseph was a willing servant, understanding that the cost, that it costs to serve the Lord, but the reward far outweighs the cost. He got to be the stepdad of the Lord Jesus Christ. Got to teach him how to use tools and carpentry, and for 30 years got to instruct his stepson, Jesus. We also, another character is the wise man. The wise man did not hesitate to spend money and time to come and see the Lord, to come see the baby Jesus. They came from the east to see baby Jesus. They had read in the book of Daniel of the coming Messiah. Again, after reading the 9th chapter of Daniel and understood, and I believe they understood it all. I believe that 483 years after the decree of Caesar of Cyrus, they understood the calculations. I believe Daniel had the influence on them. That's my personal belief. They'd seen the star in the east and traveled to come and see the king of the Jews. They left friends and family, businesses, mounted camels, and rode 500 or 600 miles to see the Savior, to see the Messiah, to see the King of the Jews. We think about three men, but it never says necessarily there was only three. I believe these men would have been wise men. These were leaders in their own respect. There would have been a caravan. This would have been a large crowd, many camels, many people. This would have been vast amounts of money that was spent to come and see the baby Jesus. But serving God and obeying God is worth it. The shepherds disregarded the consequences of seeing baby Jesus as well, as the angels appeared unto them and told them where the child was, and they left their sheep without regard for the sheep and went and saw the baby Jesus. I know that's maybe small in our own eyes, but the sheep, they were shepherds. The sheep is their value. What could have happened? We don't know. As they left the sheepfold to go see Jesus. Serving God costs something. But it's worth it. Mary served without regard to consequences. Joseph served the Lord without regard to consequences. It cost the wise man something to obey and to serve the Lord, to come and see the baby Jesus. The shepherds served and obeyed God as well as they left their hillside there to go see the baby Jesus. And I just want to encourage you, we should serve the Lord without regard to consequences. That we must understand that it does cost to serve the Lord. That it does cost our time. It takes time to show up early for choir practice. It takes time to show up early for Master's Club. It takes time to study for a Sunday school class. It takes time to show up on Tuesday nights. And it takes time to put lesson plans together and music together. And it takes time. It takes effort. But it's worth it. It pays to serve the Lord. It pays in eternal dividends. I'm thankful it pays in dividends now, too. We see the results of service. I'm thankful we can look back over the years. Now, 23 years of ministry that I've been involved in, and see kids that I taught in the youth department back in Bowie, Texas, and see them on Facebook now with families serving the Lord. What a blessing. And some of the young adults in here that I've had opportunity to see their children born and now are teenagers, and some of them now even above that. It's almost sad that I'm that old. But what a blessing to see the results, even here on earth, that it is worth it to serve the Lord. It is worth it to serve the Lord. We should serve Him. It pays to serve the Lord, whether it's Sunday school class, whether it's our time, whether it's our talent in singing in the choir or singing special music or playing an instrument, whatever it may be, or taking our treasure and giving. By the way, we all ought to give. The tithe is owed to the Lord. And then we give above that as a love offering unto the Lord. Tithes and offerings. God will bless that. Whether you're involved in the buses or running the vans. We think about master's clubs again and choir and all the various ministry. You ladies who keep the nursery, what a blessing. What if all them babies were in here? None of us could hear. What if all them little little ones were running around. I know some of you, we bring the three-year-olds in here. We do that for a reason. Most of you have usually sit at the back and whatever the case is, and it doesn't distract me, and I think it's a great thing. I think it's awesome for Sunday night for all of us to be together. I want to remind you why Sunday night we don't have any programs per se during the service. I think it should be very important to you as a dad and a mom to have your kids sitting beside you in at least one service. Or the next generation, all they'll know is that they come to church to have fun and play games. I'm not saying Master's Club and Sunday School is all fun and games. I'm just saying they need to sit in a service. They need to learn how to sit. They need to learn how to listen to the preacher. They need to get to see the pastor and the associate pastor. They need that. Amen. Sunday night's not just important in that we're teaching, but also instructing these children and these young people. I'm glad y'all agree. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. The greatest gift you can give this Christmas to the Lord is yourself. Lord, I am here. Lord, I submit myself to you. Whatever you want me to do. And maybe tonight it's just renewing that and saying, Lord, I've gotten a little tired. And Lord, I know it's worth it to serve you. I know it is, but sometimes, boy, I just get down and tired in the way, but I'm not tired of the way. Amen? Man, we love the Lord and we want to serve Him. Our labor is not in vain. As the world grows darker, we must be a light. In fact, as the world grows darker, we get to be a brighter light. It will cost us something, but the rewards far outweigh the cost, the effort, and the sacrifice as we spend our time serving the Lord, as we use our talents for the Lord, and as we give our treasure to the Lord. Let's be reminded that it cost Mary something. It did. It cost her something. But the world was saved. It cost Joseph something, and there's a lot of debate as to whether or not he was still alive when Jesus died. I personally feel like he wasn't. That somewhere across there in that time between the birth of Jesus and the time that Jesus became his earthly ministers, that Joseph passed away at some point. It cost the wise man something to come see Jesus. It cost the shepherd something, though maybe theirs was a little smaller in comparison to the others. But it cost something to serve the Lord, but it's worth it. Our labor's not in vain in the Lord. Will you settle it tonight? Will you make a commitment? Lord, I'll do whatever you ask me to do. Lord, I'll serve in whatever capacity you want me to serve. Lord, I'll give whatever you ask me to give. Lord, I'll do whatever you ask me to do. I understand that it's worth it. Let's all stand. Hymn 118, I need thee every